The following is a special presentation of The Lutheran Hour. Heavy rain has led to widespread flooding in the Midwest. Levees have surrendered to the relentless rising rivers. Homeowners watch helplessly as the muddy brown water surrounds and then engulfs their world. Pastor Ken Klaus considers the questions many are asking.
You may want to know where the Savior has been during these days of devastation and destruction. You want to know, has Jesus been sleeping? Has he forgotten about you? Has he gone on vacation? Has he turned his back? A flood has come, but so does the Christ. No matter how much these waters have affected you, no matter how strong are the adverse winds and waves of your own personal storms, this fact remains. The crucified and living Lord Jesus cares for you.
Stay with us for Pastor Klaus's message titled, Does Jesus Care? Later, we'll talk with the Reverend Carlos Hernandez of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. He'll tell us what we can do to help those in need. Now, here's Pastor Ken Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We at the Lutheran Hour wish to express our thanks to the decision makers of this station for airing this special message to the flooded counties, communities, and families in their listening area. We recognize these stations are a great blessing to you, and we thank the Lord for their partnership as they allow us to share the peace of God which passes all human understanding, the peace of God which can come even during a flood, the peace which comes to us through the ongoing presence of Jesus Christ. You know, when I speak at Christian congregations, I found many of the people there use their Bibles for more things than pressing flowers. Because many people actually do use their Bibles, when I ask what's the shortest verse in the Bible, some of them are able to reply, Jesus wept is the shortest verse in Scripture. Some of them can actually tell me that verse is found in John 11:35. Now, here's the interesting part. The verse Jesus wept is not the shortest verse in the Bible, at least not in the Greek. Let me share that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 reads, Pontente kairete. And what does pontente kairete mean? It translates rejoice evermore. Rejoicing evermore is what I want to talk to you about today. You see, right now with rising rivers and major cleanups going on, the Lord is telling you to rejoice evermore. Now, don't blow a cork and start cussing at me for having lost my mind. I haven't, nor has the Lord. You should also know God isn't playing some kind of cruel joke when he gave those words of encouragement to his people. Not then, not now. To those of you who have been hit by a flood, whose memories and lives are being turned upside down, you should know the Lord was serious when he, by the Holy Spirit's power, told God's people like you, to rejoice evermore. That's right, he was speaking to you. Now I want you to realize rejoicing evermore doesn't mean you go around with a silly smile stapled on your face. Rejoicing evermore does mean that this flood doesn't have to have the final word in your life. At which point you're probably thinking, easy for him to say. He isn't watching everything he has worked for, get washed away. He isn't losing all he's got in a flood. Is that about right? I can understand why you would feel that way, why you would say that. Even more, I agree with you. Talk is cheap, and I'm not in your shoes. You know that when these floodwaters recede, they will leave behind mud and dirt. You are also aware they will leave anxiety and apprehension, depression, destruction, and doubt. These floodwaters leave behind people who want to know, how is this possible? How can it be that a week or so ago my life seemed so safe and secure? How can everything be washed away by some summer rains and rising rivers? Even so, your story is ours. A world tainted by sin tells us that our dreams, our hopes, our plans, our tomorrows, our lives can also be swept away. Reality tells us that illness and accident, sickness and sadness will someday come to us all. Your flood is today. Our flood is coming. A sinful world guarantees storms of devastation, destruction, and death will sweep down upon each of us. It is inevitable. It is inescapable. It is unpreventable. All of which makes it hard to rejoice evermore. Adam and Eve probably didn't rejoice evermore when they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Abraham didn't feel like rejoicing evermore when he celebrated his birthdays without a child. The children of Israel didn't rejoice evermore when they saw Egypt's war chariots thundering down on them. David didn't rejoice evermore when he went to war against his son. Not even Jesus' disciples rejoiced evermore. The gospel writer tells of the day Jesus, having preached all day, tried to get away for a much-needed rest. He, along with his disciples, many of whom were experienced sailors, set out for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. While they were traveling, Jesus settled in for a nap in the back of the boat. The Gospel of Mark says a furious squall descended upon the boat. The Bible says it was a furious squall. You can call it the disciples' version of your flood. Even the experienced fishermen were afraid of and amazed by the destructive power of the water. The winds were strong, the waves were high, and the swells broke over the low gunwales of the boat. All was made doubly frustrating by the fact that while they were sinking, Jesus was sleeping. He slept as they pulled at the oars. He slept when they struck the sail. He slept as they bailed as fast as they could. Finally, the disciples went to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They could have made a powerful statement of faith. "Lord, if you want, you can save us." No. Their misery wanted company. If they were going to Davy Jones' locker, they wanted Jesus to feel bad for them. "Jesus, don't you care?" It is quite possible that many of you, surveying the damage of flood or struggling through your own life storms, may feel the same way about the Lord. You may want to know where the Savior has been during these days of devastation and destruction. You want to know, has Jesus been sleeping? Has he forgotten about you? Has he gone on vacation? Has he turned his back? Although you may never have said so out loud, you, like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, may want to know, feel you have a right to know, doesn't Jesus care? Jesus not care? If you look up the word caring in the dictionary, you will find a picture of Jesus. It was Jesus caring which placed your sins, the world's sins, upon his shoulders as he suffered and prayed for strength in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was godly caring which would take him through his betrayal by a friend, his desertion by his disciples, his unfair trials before church and state. It was his caring, which compelled him to give his life as a ransom for all of us, to die so all who believe on him might live forever in heaven. It was his caring which had Jesus rise from the dead and show to all the world that his caring had conquered and would continue on past the end of time. Jesus not care? What charge could be more wrong? Jesus cared for people back then, even as he continues to care today. Truly, this day, with nail-pierced hands, a caring Christ reaches out to those of you who don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. A caring Christ comes this day to all of those who have seen their old lives washed away. A flood has come, but so does the Christ. No matter how much these waters have affected you, no matter how strong are the adverse winds and waves of your own personal storms, this fact remains. The crucified and living Lord Jesus cares for you. It's been more than 10 years since a warm spring thaw quickly melted the record winter snows surrounding Grand Forks, North Dakota. Although geographically far removed from you, they also had to abandon their homes and hopes to the rising waters. When they finally returned, they, like you, tackled the seemingly impossible task of cleaning up the mess. Surprisingly, although the flood had destroyed much of what had once been important, it hadn't managed to wash away the Christians' ability to rejoice evermore. Signs started showing up in the front yards of devastated homes. One Christian family put up a sign which read, "Basement apartment, $10 a month, indoor pool. Another said, "We know we're lucky to be alive. Please, pray the rain falls on people who need it more." One sign I especially remember was on the bulletin board of the Lutheran Church. It read, "We are not what we own." Jesus would have agreed. Jesus valued us, not our possessions. He gave his life so we, not our things, might live forever. Because of his life so freely given, we know when a flood comes rushing down upon us, the crucified Christ, the living Lord Jesus, not the water, will have the final word. Today you may not feel Jesus cares. I'm here to assure you he does. As surely as this flood has brought calamity, a caring Christ has come to conquer that catastrophe. A caring Christ has come. He cares about your financial problems. He cares about food thawed in your freezer. He cares about your child's cough and the credit cards you are maxing out. He cares about crops unharvested, and he cares about where you will be this time next year. There is no aspect in your life too large or too small for Jesus not to care about. If you doubt me, then look at what happened when those doubting disciples came to Jesus in the midst of their storm, their flood. They had asked, "Jesus, don't you care?" With those words of doubt ringing in his ears, Jesus got up and spoke to the storm. Your Bible probably translates his words, "Peace, be still." A literal translation would be, "Quiet, put a muzzle on it." That day, on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus put a storm in its place. Now, I would love to tell you that there were no more storms in the disciples' lives. I would love to say that from that moment, they learned to trust Jesus. I would love to tell you that, but it wouldn't be true. The disciples encountered other storms. Even so, by the Spirit's power, they learned, they believed that no matter how bad the storm, the Savior was more than a match for it. They were able to rejoice evermore. Theirs is a lesson for us. You see, I cannot say no other floods will come sweeping down upon you. I can't say that when the waters recede, so will all of the problems. No preacher can make such promises. But I can promise that when you are turned to the Lord in faith, when you trust in him for deliverance, he will say to your storm, "Put a muzzle on it." And by God's grace, that storm will no longer give you the fear that it once did. A few months ago, a Christian mother from California wrote to me. At that time, they were having their fair share of storms, too. As she was getting her 4-year-old daughter ready for bed, the child was afraid, and the heavy clouds, pouring rain, and booming thunder didn't leave the mother unconcerned. In that home, there was no rejoicing evermore. Just as the bedroom light was being turned out, the child got a quick glimpse of the moon through the storm clouds. She asked, "Mother, is the moon God's light?" "Yes," said the mother, "as are all the lights of the heavens." The daughter asked, "Will God put out his lights and go to bed too?" "No, the Lord doesn't put out his lights and he never goes to sleep." Then, with the simplicity of a child's faith, the daughter turned over and said, "Well, as long as God is up, there's no sense both of us staying awake." The storm continued on outside, but in that little girl's heart, the storm was gone. She was able to rejoice evermore as Jesus said, "Peace, be still," to her storm. May the Savior do the same for you. My dear friends, and you are because of Christ my friends, I will not say I understand what you are feeling. That would not be fair, and it wouldn't be true. But I can tell you the story of a man who does understand. His name is Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a Chicago lawyer in the 1800s. His success did not make him immune from loss. Spafford's only son died of scarlet fever at the age of 4. A year later, his real estate properties were wiped out by fire. Knowing that his family needed a break, a vacation, Spafford decided to take them all, his wife and 4 daughters, to England. That would have happened, except for a last-minute emergency, which forced Spafford to stay behind for a few days. He waved goodbye at the dock and promised to join them later. later didn't come. 9 days after he had said farewell, Spafford received a telegram from his wife who was in Wales. Her telegram was two words. It read, "Saved alone." The friendship on which Spafford's family had set sail had collided with the English vessel, the Lochearn. It sank in 12 minutes. 226 of the people had died. Spafford's wife had stood on deck with her daughters, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanita. Her last memory of the disaster was feeling the water tearing her baby from her arms. Spafford's four girls were dead, and his wife had only been saved because of a plank which had kept her unconscious body afloat on the surface of the sea. Wishing to join his mourning wife, Spafford took the next boat to England. While they were en route, the ship's captain called passenger Spafford to the bridge. The captain said, "Sir, a careful reckoning has been made, and we are now passing the place where your family's ship was wrecked. The water is 3 miles deep." Spafford left the bridge and stood at the rail. He gazed for a long time at the black water which had stolen so much of his life. Then, having looked, he returned to his cabin. And what did he do? What would you do? Some people would have shaken their fists at the heavens and demanded an explanation, some enlightenment from God as to why he would do such a thing. Some people would be so filled with rage, their personalities would have been altered for all time. Some people would have been so overwhelmed by loss and convinced that their lives would never again be the same, they would have run from that cabin, jumped the ship's rail, and joined their loved ones in a watery death. Spafford did none of those things. Rather than giving in to the devil's discouragement, Spafford trusted in the Lord. He wrote a poem which was put to music and became a favorite hymn. This, in part, is what that hymn says. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. The waters will recede, and for many they will be replaced by doubt, despair, depression. But for those who know the Savior stands by their side, it will be possible to rejoice evermore, and it will be well with their souls. To that end, if we can help you with a book or a prayer, please call us at the Lutheran Hour. Amen."
Attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. He lives, oh, the bliss of this glory.
not in part, but the whole. Nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well.
That was Don Warden. You're listening to a special presentation of The Lutheran Hour. Today's program also features music by Dr. John Levitt and the Mid-America Symphonic Ensemble. Still ahead, Pastor Carlos Hernandez of LCMS World Relief tells how you can help those affected by recent disasters. Thanks for listening today. The Lutheran Hour is supported by generous listeners like you. Help expand the gospel outreach of Lutheran Hour Ministries. Call 1-800-876-9880 or visit our website, www.lutheranhour.org, or write The Lutheran Hour, 660 Mason Ridge Center Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63141. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. And now Pastor Klaus leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with us all. Amen.
Two 2008 has had more than its share of tornadoes, floods, and other natural disasters.
I'm Mark Eicher, and joining me by phone today is the Reverend Carlos Hernandez, Director of Districts and Congregations for LCMS World Relief and Human Care. Pastor Hernandez, your organization has been extremely busy this year. Describe some of the things you've witnessed.
Well, we were, first of all, in Columbus, Indiana, last week. And what we saw is just one home after another that had been flooded completely, and people trying to clean out their homes. These people are very industrious. I mean, they get right to it. But a lot of grief, a lot of pain, a lot of just wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to restore our homes?
And I imagine that scene is being played out in many, many communities right now.
That's correct.
What other places are you involved with right now?
In Waverly, Iowa, there's just been extreme flooding, and members of our congregations have been really affected.
Mostly their homes, or have the churches been washed away?
Well, both. In, for example, at St. John's in Waverly, Iowa, they were not able to use insurance, and so the church itself is in need of extensive repair before it can even be occupied. But in addition to that, Pastor Matthew Versaman earlier asked us for a grant to help 40 of the families in their congregation that had damage to their homes. Primarily, their homes flood, the basements flood, they lose food, they lose clothing, appliance, and they have to evacuate it, stay in hotels or with friends. So that's sort of typically what's happening.
And what does LCMS World Relief and Human Care do as it responds to these emergencies?
Well, we immediately either call the pastor, or if in the Iowa District East, there's also an executive that's working with congregations. We work both with the district and within the congregation. In the case, for example, of a congregation in Waverly, and also we've been working with congregations in Wisconsin. That was another hard-hit area in the Wisconsin Dells. Let us know how many families, you know, what they need, and how you would like to help them, you know, with our help, with an initial grant.
Do you have to be Lutheran to receive this help?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we begin with our people, you know, and then help them to reach out not only to their own members, but also to friends, relatives. If they have a daycare center or a school where they have non-members, certainly they feel a strong responsibility for them. There are congregations that have not been affected, but members of their community have, and sometimes they ask us, can you help us help our community? It's not just for Lutherans, but for the whole community.
Now, what is the best way that listeners of this program can help support your efforts?
Well, if they go to our website, there's a Give Now button, or just a direct gift. Last Friday, we were temporarily cashed out, and we had grants that we had promised, and so we're just waiting for our donors to step forward to help us, and it's continuing. I mean, our work is just beginning. All through Missouri now, there's a lot of flooding, and so we're on the phone yet today with some of those congregations and districts.
Should people send any material goods or clothing or anything like that?
Well, as much as such a kind gesture to think of sending material goods, it's very difficult for us to process and to send. So what's really helpful right now is monetary donations.
And we have that website here. It's www.lcms.org/worldrelief. World Relief is all one word. Again, that's www.lcms.org/worldrelief. Or you can call the donor line 1-888-930-4438. That's 1-888-930-4438. We've been talking with the Reverend Carlos Hernandez from LCMS World Relief and Human Care. Pastor Hernandez, thanks for being with us.
And thank you for giving us the opportunity to tell the story.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.